All of a sudden, things got quiet.
Brian. OCM. Okay. Okay, this is to call the City Council work session to order for January 18th, 2022. Peggy, roll call, please.
Just a second. I'm going to let CM into the meeting. All right. Boteo?
Here.
Sawyer?
Here.
Kaplan?
Jan?
Kaplan?
You're muted.
You're muted.
Here.
Very good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Jacoby?
Here.
Parker?
Here.
Goble?
Here.
And Hall?
Here.
Okay, we're going to start off with the interviews, and as I have done in the past, Spencer, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick overview for tonight. Again, we have a work session. We've allowed about 35 minutes for the interview of applicants for the budget committee. We have two tonight. We interviewed three. We'll have a presentation from Enterprise Fleet that follows that, and then the last thing will be discussion on prioritizing topics for discussion for the joint city council. We have urban renewal meeting then after that, and the regular meeting.
Okay, as I've done in the past, I randomly pick names for the numbers, and I'm kind of changing this time. We're going to start with Dietmar with number one.
Where's the list? Where?
The questions were sent out earlier today by email this morning, I believe.
9:35, it says.
Okay, 9:35.
And Dietmar, if you didn't get number one, it says, why are you interested in serving on the budget committee?
Okay.
And Ryan, if you would take number two.
I'm looking for it.
And Beatrice, if you would take number three. Cynthia, if you would take number four. Jan, if you would take number five. CM, if you would do number six. And then I will finish with the David Allen question.
Okay, I got it.
Go ahead.
I got it. Are we is the candidate there?
Yeah, we're going to let the candidate in the room. So.
Yes, Carol Schenk is entering the meeting.
And if you'd all introduce yourself before the question, that'll save a lot of time. Hi, Carol. Can you hear us? You look
yes,
like
hi.
Okay. My name is Dean Sawyer, the mayor, and we have some questions that the council will ask you. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. And because of time, we're just going to jump right into it, and I'll turn it over to Dietmar Goble.
Okay.
Hi, Carol. I'm Dietmar. I've been on the council for a number of years, and thank you for volunteering your name for the budget committee. Muchly appreciated. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions, and everybody will introduce themselves. So my question is, why are you interested in serving on the city's budget committee?
Well, I moved to Newport, bought my house in 2018, and moved here in 2019. And the things that attracted me to the city were a lot of it about the public services, the library, the parks, the performing arts center, the visual arts center, but also the fisheries economy and the tourist economy. And I'm just very interested in maintaining the quality of life that I see here that attracted me to this place. And with my experience in over 20 years of local government, a lot of it involving the budget process from different angles, not actually reviewing a budget. I feel like I can contribute and would have a perspective also as a former city employee.
Well, one of your prerequisite qualifications is you're a duck, so that's a good thing.
And I'm a duck. love Oregon, and I really love, I love Newport.
Thank you.
Hi, Carl. I'm Ryan Parker, and my question is follows Dietmar's. What has been your personal involvement in serving on the Budget Committee or any other city committees in the past?
So I haven't served on committees. I have served in the role as a clerk to committees when working for the City of Shoreline, which is a city north of Seattle, and also when I was working in the city clerk's office for the City of Seattle. So I clerked the neighborhood council meeting for the City of Shoreline, and I clerked various meetings for the City of Seattle when I was filling in for the city clerk.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hi, Carol. I'm Beatriz Botello.
Hi.
And thank you for applying. I have the next question. Describe your budgeting experience. Do you have any governmental budgeting experience?
My experience, I supervised the King County Archives for 5 years. And so I was a program manager. I didn't have budget oversight. I mean, I had to get approval for expenditures, but I was responsible for making budget recommendations. And then I've been involved in a lot of strategic planning, high-level strategic planning around budget programming at higher levels for our division. And let me think what else. And then as I said in my application, I've sort of been involved in the budget process as when I worked for the City of Seattle, I was the information manager, and my role was posting online all of the budget information throughout the budget review process, which was a really in-depth process. So I feel like I came to know the document and the supporting documents really well. And then in research and working with county and city agencies as a records manager and as an archivist, I've used budgets a lot because they're a really good key. Sort of, you either start with legislation or you start with the budget as a place to find out how programs originated and what happened to them.
Thank you, Carol.
Hi, Carol. I'm Cynthia Jacoby.
Hi.
Hi, and welcome to Newport. My question is about any knowledge you have about our city's financial condition, and how would you describe our city's situation?
Okay. Well, from reviewing the budget and, you know, reading the news, I understand that 22 positions were cut in response to the pandemic and anticipated budget shortfalls, and that some of those positions were restored. I'm concerned about the library positions personally, but I understand that the budget shortfalls that were anticipated weren't as bad, that actually the hotel and tourism was income was as almost normal, I understand that there's a lot of infrastructure and that there was an attempt to the infrastructure funding measure failed for street maintenance and for police and fire and the I think there were library positions in that too. So I know that there are a lot of long-term maintenance issues with the capital budget, and also that there are probably some, it'll be interesting to see how the recreation center restaffed as it opens up more as the pandemic subsides, hopefully, if it ever does. And so I know that like all other cities across the country, there are a lot of hard choices to be made.
Yes, there are. Thank you.
Hi, Carol. I'm Jan Kaplan.
Hi.
New counselor. So following on Cynthia's question, what do you feel is the number one financial challenge facing the city today? And what are your thoughts on possible solutions for our budget challenges?
Right. I'm going to make the assumption that the failed tax measure, you know, was that you wouldn't have put that, the council wouldn't have put that forward to the public if it wasn't really critical. And so, and I know that that was around a backlog of street maintenance. And it looks like in the budget documents, like there's a lot of sewer maintenance and capital facilities that just need to be up. I mean, the city has a lot of really nice facilities and they all need to be maintained. So you asked for one. So I guess it's, I mean, I'm going to say, probably the, I would think the roads, if that was the most urgent in the referendum, but I, and as far as bringing in more revenue, I almost wish that same measure could be attempted, just as I believe it was a fire district that did that in, was at Toledo or somewhere, they just tried again and said, wait, you guys didn't understand what we were saying. I feel like maybe the advertising on that wasn't, they kind of got the anti restaurant tax people seemed like they got out ahead of the city and explaining what was going on. And I think if with clear communication, sort of starting there, with if there, a lot of work went into planning that, and I would feel like, I think that taxing tourists seems like a really sound approach, because the local residents are already paying a fair amount of property taxes, and there's a lot of people love to come here, and I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I don't think people feel it that much when they spend an extra, you know, 10 cents per gallon of gas or whatever it is as they're coming through.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was a good answer.
Hi, Carol, I'm CM. And I think that we all, if every single counselor had that same question, we would have a different answer about what we see as the number one financial challenge.
Yeah.
I do want to first let you know that we have a vacancy potentially, you know, as a city recorder / assistant city manager. So maybe that's something you want to think about instead of retiring. Just saying. but my actual question is that there are typically three regular budget committee meetings and scheduled at this point in time for April 26th, May 17th, and May 24th in the evening. And there's a pre-budget meeting that's tentatively scheduled for March 1st. And will your schedule allow you to attend all four meetings?
Yes.
Great. Thanks. Dean, is that you? Who's the last question? Hey, Dean, your mic isn't on, I think.
We can hardly hear you, Dean.
I have to turn it on first, Peggy. Sorry about that. What makes you stand out as a candidate for the Budget Committee, and what special attributes, talents, and abilities will you bring to the Budget Committee?
Well, I definitely think my experience as a city employee and a county employee, and my, I guess I'll say, being on the receiving end of budget cuts. And I think that could help me in understanding how changes might affect a program and what actually is more efficient. Like, it's not always the most efficient thing to bring in a consultant, or going back and forth between centralizing processes versus distributing them across agencies and allowing for more agility. So I've seen a lot researching a lot of local government, I've seen these cycles of change that go through, and as different local governments experience hard, you know, financial difficulties. And also my experience with the city of Shoreline was, I think, kind of feels like it's a city of about 50,000 people. And at the time that I arrived there, it was at a changing point because it had just incorporated. And so it was really fun to watch it change it from being sort of a outskirts of the city, outside the city of Seattle, with casinos and strip clubs, and sort of redefine itself as a community and really change its character with good design and good planning. And so it was, so I really like thinking about that, how to how to envision a community and ways that to make things feel more friendly to families and more friendly to people of different with different languages who speak different languages, and to support businesses and just generally visioning continually improving the environment and the built environment and also the natural environment. So those, and then I guess I have a strong interest in human services and education and the fine arts. And so I don't know if those things are part of your, I don't know what different people's backgrounds are that are on the committee, but I would bring those interests as well as a really strong interest in environmental protection.
Okay, great. And we'd like to thank you for your time today and also thank you for applying. Appreciate that. And Peggy, we will be making a decision later tonight at the regular meeting as to who is selected. And if you are not selected, we still encourage you to apply for other committees as well. We have other volunteer positions, and Peggy will let you know what the final decision is.
Great. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. We have the next applicant, so I'm going to admit her from the waiting room.
Reopenings, right?
Yeah. We interviewed three last week and two tonight.
There's two before. That's right, we did three.
Mr. Mayor, Diane Nelson is in the meeting, and she is the next interviewee.
Looks like she's connecting. Diane, if you can hear us, let us know.
I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. I guess we got two places here. You got one there and one over here. Welcome.
I should turn the other one off. I'm sorry. I tend to over-prepare. Thank you.
You must have a split personality.
I do.
Yeah, welcome. We have several questions for you. And I'm going to let the council start off. Dietmar Goebel will start off with our first question.
Hi, Diane. When I read your bio, I thought I recognized who that was. So welcome to the city. Diane and I are in Rotary together, so I know.
Yes, we are. Is.
Yes. So, Diane, welcome to our interview process here, and welcome. And thank you for I know you volunteer for everything in town, so. Thank you for putting your name in for this position. So my first question is, why are you interested in serving on the City of Newport Budget Committee?
I'm going to start with Rotary, service above self. I am the current vice president of the Rotary Club of Newport. I believe in service. I also have the skills to do this job. And I would be honored to be on the budget committee.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Diane. I'm Ryan Parker. The next question is, what has been your personal involvement in serving on a budget committee or other city committee in the past?
I have not served on any Newport, Oregon committees, City of Newport, Oregon committees.
Any other cities welcome?
Oh, another city? Okay. Yes, I have. My husband and I actually lived in South Park, Colorado. It's a real place. He was the elected official. They built a rec center. He was the elected official, and I was on the budget committee for the rec center for the city of Fair Play in Fair Play, Colorado.
Great, thank you.
Hi, Diane. I'm Beatriz Botello. And I have the next question, and welcome, and I'm glad you applied. Thank you for being here. Describe your budgeting experience Do you have any governmental budgeting experience?
Other than the budgeting that I did for South Park, I don't have any governmental budgeting experience, but I have lots of business budgeting experience. Would you like to hear me to summarize that very quickly?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. I'm a practicing CPA in the state of Oregon and in the state of Colorado. I have a master's in taxation from the University of Denver. My PhD is from Washington State University. I worked for almost 20 years in a Fortune 100 company in the Denver, Colorado area. It no longer exists. It was merged with AT&T Comcast. In 2002, I was lucky enough to retire at that time. I was a jack of all trades for US West and its successors. I was in the tax department. I was in the treasury department. I did mergers and acquisitions. I prepared business plans. I've traveled all over the world doing due diligence. Is that enough, or would you like me to keep going?
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Hello, Diane. I'm Cynthia Jacoby. Thank you for calling. My question is, do you know the financial condition of our city? I assume you do. And how would you describe our financial situation?
Well, yes, I do know the financial situation. I've lived in Newport, my husband and I, since June of 2015. We are friends with the mayor. We are both Rotarians. The mayor asked us to support him on the sales tax legislation for restaurants, and we did support him. I believed in both of those initiatives. I know it's water under the dam now, but I'm here to help. I'm here to help. Is there any other did you want to ask more questions about that, Cynthia?
Well, it was about describing our financial situation.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for focusing me. The financial situation, I think that we have done, the city has done a good job of controlling expenditures, but probably needs some help with getting sources of revenue. And again, I'm willing to work with the person in charge of budgets for the city and willing to help them out in the best way that I know how.
Okay. Thanks.
So this follows in on Cynthia's question. What do you feel is the number one financial challenge? And you may have answered that already. What are your thoughts on solutions? And you answered that some, but I'll give you a chance to expound.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jan.
No, I'm Jan, yes, Jan Kaplan.
Yeah, I see that now. Nice to meet you virtually.
Same here.
Well, I think it's a matter of, I want to say it's a promotion, how to promote what I think the city has good ideas. Like I said, those taxes, I voted for them. Mayor Dean asked us to put, if he could put our names in the election folder. And yes, my husband's and my names were in there. We support that. So I think it's a matter of marketing, the city marketing what you believe in. I couldn't believe the responses. Several of my friends, Local Ocean Seafoods, I couldn't believe the conversation that my husband had with Laura, the owner of Local Ocean Seafoods, about the restaurant tax. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I think it's a matter of educating people and marketing our good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good answer. And somebody else pointed out before, we probably all have different answers to each of those questions. So.
Yes.
But thank you.
Hi, Dr. Nelson.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. You just disappeared from my screen, but I know you can still hear me. We are down some positions with the city, so you might also think about applying for an upcoming vacancy. You know, helping us in finance. Just saying. But my real question is that to let you know that typically there are four meetings. There you are. With the budget committee. They all fall on a Tuesday. The three main meetings are April 26th, May 17th, and May 24th, but there's also a pre-budget meeting scheduled for March 1st, and all of these are in the evening. Will your schedule allow you to attend these meetings?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Diane, for your final question, what makes you stand out as a candidate for the budget committee? And what special attributes, talents, and abilities will you bring to the budget committee?
I think you're talking about knowledge, skills, abilities, and other attributes. That's what I would call it. That's what I teach to my students. Okay, let me start. I explain my education. I explained my first work life. Excuse me. I am a practicing CPA in Oregon and Colorado. It's tax season, which is a good thing. I get along with people. I have a lot of fun. I'm a Rotarian. What else would you like to know? I think I'm fit for the job. And I guess, Dean, I would be honored if you would select me to be on the budget committee.
Okay. Thank you very much for applying. We appreciate your time today and your answers were great. We will be making a decision later tonight at the regular council session. And Peggy will let you know the final decision.
Great. Thank you very much.
And we appreciate you applying.
Thanks again for
coming.
And
thank you for being here today.
Great. Have a good rest of your meeting.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Okay, next item.
Can I ask a question about the process?
Yes.
So we have had five candidates. So will we deliberate during the council meeting tonight?
Yes. Unless you want to put it off again.
No, I just want to know if that's the right. We will discuss and then kind of distill down. Okay. Thank you.
And we will entertain a motion, and whoever does the motion will have to mention three candidates, and then we will vote yes or no, depending on what the council wants to do at that point.
I think there could be discussion prior to having that motion. Or we might get multiple nominations from people. Work through that at the regular.
Five different nominations.
Okay. There's five candidates. There's three seats. The one seat is for a partial term, so whenever a motion is made for to fill that seat, we need to be specific about which two are in the full term and which candidate would be.
Okay. No further questions. Peggy, next item.
The next item on the agenda is the Enterprise Fleet Introduction.
Spencer.
City staff has been working with Enterprise Fleet on potentially utilizing their services for the replacement of passenger and small truck vehicles utilized by the city department. Mike Breidenbeck from Enterprise Fleet will provide a presentation to the council on how this system would work for the city. General Enterprise Fleet buys new vehicles at a very competitive price and then sells its new vehicles at an appropriate time based on market conditions. This enables the organization to have a modern fleet that is utilized within the warranty period, then sold by Enterprise and replaced with another new vehicle. Enterprise also maintains the maintenance vehicles, and based on the information provided by Enterprise, the overall cost for operating the city's fleet is reduced. We have reviewed this option and would like to get additional feedback in this direction. A question came up earlier regarding hybrids and EV vehicles, and Enterprise is able to provide those types of vehicles as well. At this point, David, do you want to add anything else before we turn it over to Michael?
Can we do a mic check on your mic?
Check, check.
Are you not hearing clearly?
It's not as great it is as it usually is, so that's what I was just checking. Thank you.
I will,
yes. Spencer, just one thing. So Michael gave us a presentation. I think he's going to put it up on the screen probably and go through it. But I was asked to check some of the references that Michael had given us of other municipalities that have utilized his services. I was successful in contacting two this afternoon, and with high praise from both about the program and the results that Michael will talk about now. So turn it over to Michael.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. And thanks for everyone for sitting through my presentation. I don't know how much you all know about Enterprise, but I can share my screen here. I can just, okay, excellent. I don't know how much you all know about Enterprise. Maybe you have rented a car from us before. And if so, we appreciate the business. I'd like to just give a little quick kind of background on myself and my team and the folks that you'd be working with at Enterprise. We're a family-owned company, privately held. I've been with the organization for 11 years now. And as part of the program, I mean, Spencer, you did do a good job of running through all of the different things that we do and that we help our clients out with. But everything that you work with when you work with Enterprise or the bulk of the team that you work with is all local. So the reason we do it that way is so that, the city of Newport has a process today on how their fleet is managed, and some of those you're working with local vendors or dealers or whomever. And as our management program, and as you work through with Enterprise, know that everything you work with Enterprise is on a very easy to work with basis. Everyone you're working with has a local phone number to call, and the folks that you work with here are all quite highly tenured. So if we look at some of the folks that I work with now, I have partnered with quite a few different cities and counties across the state. Here's a couple of quick kind of blurbs from some folks that we work with locally, Umatilla County, City of St. Helens, Linn County. What we're doing for all of those folks is the same. And basically it comes down to managing vehicle life cycles and looking at your fleet from a different angle and what is going to be most efficient with regards to the use of that vehicle, how often you're using that vehicle, and what the right tool for the job is going to be. So if you can see this chart that I've got here, this is really at the core of what Enterprise does. So the city of Newport, when we look at how you are buying vehicles and how you are managing vehicles and how long you're holding on to vehicles, today the process really is run a vehicle, for 10 plus years until it's gotten old, and then wholesale the vehicle at an auction or somewhere and then go buy another one. And what we're trying to do is evaluate the total cost to operate that vehicle over time and find when the right time to replace that vehicle is going to be. So And if you look at this example here, your three costs to operate a vehicle are depreciation, fuel, and maintenance. So as a vehicle gets older, the depreciation or loss in value of that vehicle, it loses value over time. You have a fuel cost that increases over time, and you've got maintenance that goes up. So at some point in time, the vehicle's maintenance is going to increase. And what we're trying to do is find that sweet spot in there when we should be replacing that vehicle. Come on. Yeah. My mouse is kind of giving me a hard time here. And so what we have done is reviewed the fleet at the city of Newport and looked at an opportunity where we would be able to replace some of the small SUVs that you have in the fleet with alternative fuel vehicles. So they would be hybrid vehicles. They would be newer vehicles. They would be safer vehicles. And the amount of money spent on those vehicles is going to be less than you're spending today. So it really is kind of a win-win. And basically what we're doing is we have evaluated that the holding period that you're spending on your vehicles now, the amount of money you're spending in maintenance and fuel to get a vehicle to 10 years is higher than what it would be if you were to replace those vehicles sooner. And so when you partner with Enterprise, we run the analysis on these vehicles on an annual basis to determine when the right time to replace these vehicles is going to be, purely based on what the cost to run those vehicles are. So, but however, in addition to saving money on the fleet and reducing your total costs, there are quite a few ancillary benefits that go along with it with regards to safety on the vehicles. So if you're, I'm going to share my screen again here. So if we go and look at your current fleet, these are just kind of some metrics and some observations that I've gotten from my meetings with Spencer and with David. So overall, 42% of the fleet is over 20 years old. The average age of the fleet is 10 years old. Lack of safety equipment, and I'm going to get into some specifics in there, but there are a significant number of vehicles in the fleet that lack electronic stability control, ABS brakes, backup camera, side impact airbags. There is a very manual process to the fleet tracking and data management. And then there is no fleet technology with regards to hybrids, direct injected engines, or turbos that would result in lower carbon emissions, lower carbon footprint. And then finally, when we look at the total cost considerations of the vehicles, there's no resale or total cost considerations. So what Enterprise has done is looked at the compact SUV segment of your fleet, and we've seen that there is an opportunity to look at these 2022 Ford Escape hybrids and replace the vehicles you're driving now with these. Sorry, I heard a little bell there. Is everything okay? Okay. If we look at the numbers to run these vehicles, your total cost to operate for one of these Ford Hybrid Escape vehicles is $2,917. The current average cost to operate a vehicle in the fleet at the City of Newport right now is $4,674 per year, meaning through my program, using these Ford Escapes and replacing them after 1 year would save the city $1,757 per year per vehicle. And the way those numbers kind of break down here is that's based on your current usage, how you're running the vehicles today, and then what it's going to cost you to run them. So in this analysis, you'd be buying the vehicle for $27,502. Your maintenance would be $298. This is on a lease model, so it's a lease to own. There are no mileage restrictions or wear and tear restrictions, et cetera, but you would pay Enterprise $493 per month. At the end of 1 year, you'd owe $23,047 on financing. Our expected sales price is $28,531, which means you're going to have $5,400 in equity at the end of 1 year for a total cost of $2,917 to operate that vehicle for 1 year. I also show a three-year model. If you wanted to hold on to the vehicles for a little bit longer, you could. It is actually more expensive to hold on to one of these vehicles for 3 years than it is for 1 year, because currently where the market is today, there is a significant demand for vehicles. And if we are ordering these vehicles, we're able to wholesale them for a considerable amount of money, and that money goes back to the city. the next slide that I have on here. So as part of the program through Enterprise, you buy the vehicles through Enterprise. We help manage the maintenance. We help manage the fuel and just make sure you're spending the proper amounts. You've got an oversight program to just make sure it's right parts, right time, right price. And then when it's time to sell the vehicles or get rid of the vehicles, they all run through a proprietary wholesale department. Enterprise is the largest buyer of vehicles in North America. We buy more vehicles than anybody else. We also sell more vehicles than anybody else. And as part of the program through us, you partner with Enterprise and we sell those vehicles for you. Currently, we average 10 to 15% above wholesale value when we sell those vehicles. And anything we sell those vehicles for is money that goes back to the city to help continue to keep your costs low. I have estimated the resale value on these vehicles in extreme rough condition at $28,531. If I look at today's Manheim market report of what these vehicles are actually selling for today, they're actually selling for $31,700 after 1 year and 10,000 miles on them. So I'm being as conservative as I can. Manheim is one of the largest auction companies in the United States. Again, Enterprise typically outpaces auction, but this is a good baseline for us to gain some data. Just kind of wrapping up here, the last little bit, this is some information on safety. So 2007, 2012, 2018 are benchmarks that we look at for safety equipment on vehicles. 14% of the fleet was built before the standardization of front and side crash testing, anti-lock brakes, and airbags. 42% of the fleet was built before the standardization of electronic stability control and lane departure warning, and then 90% of the fleet was produced before blind spot monitoring, forward collision warning, improved headlights, offset crash testers, and backup cameras. So with a newer fleet, with a refreshed fleet, comes some safety equipment as well. This is a quick piece on just kind of how the lease program would work. The reason we're recommending a lease on here is because it's a benefit for cash flow. And basically the way that would work is it's very different from a traditional lease like you would through a dealer. In this case, you just pay for the portion of the vehicle that you use. So at the end of the term, you're going to owe a residual value or an amount on the loan. Whatever we sell the vehicle in addition to that amount is equity that goes back to you. And then wrapping up, just a couple of quick just rundown of overall advantages to what you're doing today, to what Enterprise can provide. So we can have access to any make and model of vehicles, so know that when we make a recommendation, we're completely unbiased. We're not tied to any one manufacturer. It's a full-service fleet management program. Additionally, the way our agreements would work with the City of Newport is they are 100% open-ended and cancelable at any time on your end. So what I mean by that is everything is a month-to-month contract with Enterprise. You're really responsible for the vehicle itself, but at any point in time you wanted to cancel a program through Enterprise, you can call me up and say, Michael, I don't want to do business with you anymore, and that's the way that it goes. I have to earn your business every month to keep you happy, and I'm happy to say, and it sounds like some of the folks that I've been working with already have said some very nice things about us. So with that said, I think that's my through the presentation. I don't know if y'all have any questions for me. I'm happy to answer.
Does anyone have a question? CM.
I saw DMAR first.
Go ahead, CM.
I have a couple of questions, one around maintenance, one around car insurance and all the protections of car insurance. And also, while you're saying it's month to month and we're entering into it, wouldn't we be entering into like a contract of some kind? It's not a month-to-month contract. So how does that term go? Because wouldn't we need to have comps on other fleet programs to enlist in this?
Great question. So to answer that, what we are doing is, so City of Newport is a member of Sourcewell. They're a buying arrangement. Sourcewell went out to bid to... I can send it over again if you need it, if you want to take a look. But they went out to bid to, I think there was about a dozen companies that are similar to Enterprise. Enterprise won across the board. So we're using that as our due diligence. And actually, your price on a vehicle because you, if you're buying off the state bid and we're ordering a vehicle direct from the manufacturer, which is what we recommend, is pre-negotiated. So that would satisfy the due diligence on the front end. And you had some questions on insurance and on maintenance as well.
Yeah, just in terms of who takes that on. Like, I just rented a car in Louisiana last week, and it was the most, like, compact car, and it was $450 for 4 days. So, like, I'm not seeing cost effectiveness, like, on the city's part. Like, I, you know, it just felt very pricey. So yeah, that makes me concerned.
So that, you know, that instance is would be a rental. What we're talking about is vehicles that you own, not rentals. So on insurance.
No, I understand, but like that, all the insurances and protections, and you know, like that's what makes me ask, like, how is that? I'm not seeing how that factors in.
Sure. Well, insuring the vehicles would not change through Enterprise. You would continue to insure the vehicles the same way that you insure them today on this program. You know, if you did need to rent a vehicle, I don't know about Louisiana, but I do know about Oregon. I do know that we have the state contract for rentals here. So I would think that our rental would be competitive. But again, that's also something I left out of my presentation here is there is a vehicle shortage. There are some loopholes that government entities have that they can still order vehicles, but not everybody else can. And so we're trying to take advantage of that. The next question you had was on maintenance, and I hope I answered that question on insurance. Does that suffice? Is that kind of what you're looking for?
There's no additional coverages that would need to be paid for.
No.
Because it would just be our coverage, the city's coverage.
That's correct. That's correct. And then for maintenance, it would be outsourced to the local tax base or local shops. So the difference would be, though, when a vehicle does go in for maintenance, Enterprise does have our own. We have about 200 ASC certified technicians that when the vehicle goes in for service, we know what the right parts, right time, right price are going to be on that vehicle. And just make sure that you're not being taken advantage of when you go in for any repairs.
Okay, Dietmar?
So I'm just looking at your numbers, and thanks, Michael, for your presentation. Much appreciated. I know that we have a lot of cars that we have to do. You're estimating that the car would take about $2 a mile. It costs the fuel, annual mileage is 5,000, and the total fuel cost is $2,188. That's about $2 a mile. Is that right?
Well, look up and make sure I didn't make him. I hope I checked my numbers before I put a presentation in front of you. Did I make a mistake there? Because this vehicle gets 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. If you say the annual mileage is 5,000 and it's costing us $2,188 on fuel.
Okay,
fun.
You know what? I did make a mistake here. Okay, I'm looking at this. So it's 5,000 miles divided by 42 miles per gallon times, let's say you pay $3.5 a gallon. That's only $416.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so you're right. I over exaggerated the cost for what it would cost you to run a vehicle through me. So you would be able to shave about $1,500 per year of cost off of what I think that it's going to cost you. So my cost is going to be actually less than what I quoted, but I don't know. Shoot. You know what? I don't know if I carried a zero or added something extra in there or what I did.
Yeah. $2,188 seems pretty high. The other thing I noticed is that we're spending about $6,000 in monthly payments, right, per year?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that. That's for a hybrid, that's not unheard of, that $28,000 car, $27,000 car. But you're also saying the car will appreciate? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes. Because as a government entity, you have the ability to buy vehicles at what's called using government bid assistance. So your discount on a vehicle is significantly more than what my price would be if I went into a Ford dealer, or yours were if you're just buying a vehicle for yourself. So that has been the case for probably the last 7 to 10 years. There's just significant discounts on vehicles for government entities to purchase them, and that helps us. That determines how long we recommend you hold on to it.
So so you're actually, your numbers here are actually, instead of 1757 net annual cost savings, it's more like 3000 or 3200.
Right? Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. That's significant saving over time, yeah. And, but you recommend us turning them over every year, right?
Currently, in today's market, yes.
So we would never get out of a payment. We'd always have, every year we would get a new car, and we would never leave the leasing program. Is that right?
You would never leave. That's correct. You would never leave the leasing program. If you may not replace vehicles every 1 year, we may change our recommendation. And our recommendations are based on data. They're not based on just a 1 year. And then from now until forever, we just keep it at 1 year. So we will meet with, I'm assuming we would meet with Spencer and David on a biannual basis, to make sure that the plan we have in place works. But right now I'm telling you that I would recommend, if you're going to buy any small SUVs like a Ford Escape, or if you're going to buy a small SUV, you should buy a Ford Escape. It's the lowest total cost. And if you're going to buy a Ford Escape, you should replace it in 1 year, because that's the lowest cost to operate that vehicle.
I understand that. And even though it's a leasing program from now till whenever the city stops using cars, you're saying that we would probably still save $3,200 a year based on purchase over lease, right?
That's correct.
That's significant, yeah. Do you believe those numbers, Spencer?
Generally, I believe them, but we want to verify a few things.
We can't hear you, Spencer.
Any better?
Nope, still can't hear you.
Yeah, hang on just a minute, Jan.
Yeah, a little better, but not real well.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
No.
How about this one? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, on the numbers, yeah, we want to spend a little time taking a little tighter look at this. But conceptually, I think David and I are supportive of this concept. The one challenge we have, I think we really do believe that the cost would be cheaper as long as we stay with the program. The challenge is, if we ever made a decision to get out of the program, that's the thing we're still kind of weighing around a little bit about how we would exit the program, because instead of having a fleet that averages 10 years old and has vehicles from 20 years ago to today, it would be a relatively new fleet that we would have to replace if we got out of the lease. And so that's the part that I'm still looking at. But really, we wanted to get some feedback from the council to see if this seemed to be, something the council would be interested in before we spend, a little more detailed time making the final analysis of this and a final recommendation for the council.
Are you talking about replacing the cop cars on this program too, then? Is that what I just heard you say?
No, the police cars are emergency. Those emergency response vehicles are not, as I understand it, are not part of the enterprise purchase. Is that right, Michael?
We can do them, but they're not. It's a different model because it's a different vehicle and it's a whole different beast. So I'm not for today, for the sake of simplicity, we're just focusing on just these small SUVs because I think that they satisfy the biggest benefit to the city today with regards to fuel economy, safety, and then the age of the current vehicles.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jan, and then Cynthia.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because this isn't, if I'm understanding this, it's not a lease. We're buying it and you're managing. Is that correct?
It's a finance. That's correct. You're buying it and then we're managing it and telling you when to replace it. That's correct. Your purchase price through it. How do I make money?
Yeah. I mean, not personally.
I charge it. Yeah, well, I make money working for Enterprise. The way Enterprise makes money is I make money on the car. So the car has profit built into it. It's a pre-negotiated price, but built into the car, there's 2 to 3% that Enterprise makes. Right. I charge, and then I charge three fees. So I charge you a delivery fee. That's for me to deliver the vehicle to you. It really covers my cost. It's $200 for me to deliver a vehicle to you. That includes taking it to any aftermarket or upfit places to put a logo or a bed liner or a truck box or something on there. I charge a management fee. It is a monthly fee. It's built into my lease payment. And then I charge a disposal fee. The disposal fee is $400 for me to come pick up the vehicle and to sell the vehicle and market through my program. And then if you choose to finance the vehicle, so you can pay cash. If you are very concerned with how to get out of a contract with Enterprise, you can pay cash if you want. There's nothing that says you can't. So you could always just pay for the whole thing. If you decide to finance the vehicles, I make a little bit of a spread on the interest rate because the funding is all through Enterprise. So.
Okay. Thank you. I wouldn't do business with somebody who's not making any money.
Cynthia?
Hey, I have a couple questions. Thank you, Michael, for your presentation. There's one big factor missing to me. I am a big supporter of electric vehicles. And I would like to see a quote from you, including electric vehicles. I did hear that, particularly with the Ford, with the F-150 pickup trucks, that those are going to be coming out en masse as fleet vehicles. Are you going to be getting those? Can you offer those to the city? Tell me about that.
Okay, this is a great small question, big answer, Cynthia. So this is a great question. Everybody's trying to get into electric vehicles right now. Those electric pickups are going to be very limited allocation. If I could get them for you, I would order them for you, and I would be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I make money every time you get a vehicle from me. I would have put them into my proposal. The likelihood of getting an electric F-150 is very slim and none right now. Ford's going to give those to people that are buying 50 to 100 cars per year, and that is kind of what's going to happen. However, there are some other – we could look at some plug-in electric hybrid vehicles – that are kind of in the middle of an electric, and there are some full electrics. Like if you wanted to look at a Tesla Model 3 or a Model Model Y or something like that, we absolutely can put those on the table. The pros and cons that go with those is they are overall more expensive to operate than the Fords that I've showed you here. So I've just went from a total cost scenario. That's where I'm leaning on. But if you want to do a proposal on that, happy to do it. And we can get Teslas and we can get other vehicles.
Yeah, I think your effective life cycle would have a different projection of lines probably if we had electric vehicles. But it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anyone else have a question or comment? CM? And then D.
How many cars in this fleet that we're looking at, and do we have to replace them all at once? I guess the concern I have is if Enterprise says you should really replace this, but we're saying like, no, this is really fine. This is really solid. I guess I don't really know that. I don't understand that part.
Okay, great question. So the way our recommendations are going to work is we are going to replace, we are going to recommend you replace vehicles that are mechanically sound and in good shape. Most of the recommendations we're going to make for your vehicles are to replace them based on what the resale value of that vehicle is, because your annual mileage on the vehicles and your usage on these vehicles is incredibly low. So because you're averaging 5,000 miles per year. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say, hey, if you hold on to this vehicle for one more year, here's how much it's going to lose in wholesale value. Here's how much extra you're going to spend in maintenance, and here's how much extra you're going to spend in fuel. And those are, that is the numbers that's going to determine whether you replace the vehicle or not.
And how many are we talking, and are we replacing them all at once?
No, we're looking at, like, I think there's 4 or 6 out of the gate. It's a very limited number right now. And that's due to just kind of the discussions that I've had with Spencer. It's also due to the vehicle availability. There are a lot of vehicles that are unavailable for order right now.
Dimar?
So back to your numbers here, Michael. You mentioned fees and other charges. Did you have those built into these numbers?
Absolutely.
So all your... So this net saving of around $3,200 includes all of your fees and services and everything else, resale and all that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. And on Cynthia's question, they also make an electric plug-in hybrid. Have you considered those at all? Can you get a hold of those?
I can get them. They're more expensive, but I can get them, yes.
Oh, okay.
My concern... My concern with a plug-in hybrid vehicle is if you're not plugging it in, and with an all-electric vehicle, if you don't have a plug-in station or charging station that's readily available, you do run the risk of the vehicle not, you know, having a hard time. If the infrastructure isn't there, there could be some issues. So if you're going to take a serious look at that, we need to probably look at, I don't know, I've been to City Hall, I don't see a lot of charging stations. You probably would want to put some charging stations in there and just to have a plan to support the electric vehicles.
Just you wait.
And
okay.
I think at a couple of council meetings back, we had that discussion about putting charging stations at City Hall and other locations. So. The program looks good. I'll leave it up to Spencer and David to negotiate the term, but if Spencer thinks it's a good option and we can save $32 a year on car, that's a great program, you know.
Great.
Okay. Beatrice?
Thank you, Michael, for the presentation. I have a question. Just want to clarify, do we have with a contract, any penalties for leaving the program or, certain time or just kind of wondering, I hear you said we can leave anytime, but I don't know if there's any penalties for leaving certain time.
Any benefits for leaving the contract?
No, penalty.
You just pay. So if you, let's say you bought a vehicle from me and it was $25,000 and you paid the lease and at the end of 2 years you said you didn't want to do the program anymore, you can just continue to pay the monthly payment until it's all paid off. Or if there's, let's say there's round numbers, there's $15,000 left on the loan, you could cut me a check for $15,000 and I'll send you the title to the vehicle and we're done. But there would be no penalty.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a couple of questions. We basically have, in my mind, three different classes of vehicles. Public works vehicles, which are usually heavy-duty trucks, police vehicles, which you indicated earlier are off the table, and then our general use vehicles, which would probably be the Ford Escape or electric cars. On the public works vehicles, a lot of them have utility boxes or ladder racks. Is that something that we would be responsible to do, or is that something that you would provide?
Whatever you prefer. I think from talking to David, as far as a time and maybe potentially cost benefit, I would coordinate the toolboxes and the ladder racks and everything to put on the vehicles, and then we would just deliver them work ready. But if you wanted to do it yourself, you could.
Yeah, and sadly, I haven't seen an F-350 pickup electric vehicle yet, but I assume probably someday that'll happen. And then maintenance is really a problem here with our local shops. I called yesterday. I have a minor problem with my vehicle, and the earliest I could get it in is February 3rd. So there is there's a problem here locally with availability. Spencer, did you want to add anything else?
No, I think, again, we wanted to present this concept to the council to see if council is interested in us furthering the exploration of this and bringing back a proposal for the council. As indicated, this would kind of be a slow start where we would probably be talking about four vehicles. And the question about how far we go beyond that will be kind of a decision we would have to make with Enterprise and on the availability of vehicles as well. So those are the kind of the factors that are out there right now. Again, if the council is comfortable with us pursuing these discussions and finalizing a proposal, that's the direction we'll go.
Could we have kind of a raise hands on consensus?
I have another question.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
Excuse me. I would be for the pursuit of this program, but I would still like to see Michael come back with a quote using electric vehicle, plug-in vehicle, something of that nature for the small size fleet cars.
Absolutely. Okay. Or just
side by side. I would concur for that under general use, but for public works and the other specific use vehicles, I would entertain what Enterprise could do to lower those fleet costs for those specific purposes.
Okay, so if we could just have a hand raise for a consensus.
I think Dietmar had a question.
Oh, Dietmar.
My last question is, what's the upfront cost of this? As far as it just day one, we start this with a monthly payment of $493, or do we have like a upfront? Do we pay $5,000 upfront or something, or what's that?
You just start making payments.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and again, the program is flexible where if we wanted to actually buy the vehicle and sell the vehicle, that's an option as well. But the intent we've been looking at is just making the payments, which would allow us to modernize our fleet at a reduced cost than what we're paying for now based on the numbers that we've seen.
I'll put my thumb up on it.
Okay. So again, folks interested in us pursuing these discussions?
Yeah, if we could do a thumbs up for Spencer if we want him to continue the discussion.
Yeah, I think we got a majority of thumbs, so.
Looks great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Michael, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your presentation and your answers. And I see that your local store here has got a lot more cars lately. And I was told that there was a different ownership now, or franchise, or whatever it is, with the local company to get more cars here. And I think that's really good for the local people.
Maybe a different local branch manager. But we are, every single one of our offices, we are not franchised. We are all family owned. Tail family owns everything. So we just got more cars. That's what happened. But thank you.
Thank you for supporting our community.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Yep.
Right. Okay, I think we have Peggy's vote on the Tesla. Okay, Spencer, the next item, please.
Yeah, the last time we have is a joint meeting with the County Commission on February 2nd. There's a list of 10 items that came up between council members and staff for potential discussion items. The one thing that we've concluded is in the past, we tried to have too many items on the agenda, so we don't have any meaningful discussion on anything. And so the items that were on the list that's attached to this item in your packet included partnership opportunities regarding housing, partnership opportunities regarding homelessness, an update on the animal shelter lease, a partnership opportunities on ARPA funding projects, update on county commons, emergency preparedness, hazard mitigation, child care, workforce development, and food insecurity. Any general thoughts about what would be the priority discussions that we could have? And I think we could ask kind of for a general update from the council or from the commissioners, specifically on the animal shelter and on the county commons, kind of as a folded into one question, because I'd really be curious where they're at with both those projects. So, if we can see what the priorities are from the council members.
This is a two-hour meeting, Spencer.
Well, there was discussions about extending it to an hour and a half, and do you know, did they agree to do that?
I'll have to confer with the county commission again, but I did say that we would like to have longer, and we kind of came up with an hour and a half, but I can ask for 2 hours or 5 hours or an hour, whatever you want.
I mean, these 10 items, we could talk for half hour on just one of those items, you know, I mean, that's
Quite frankly,
that we don't talk a lot.
Quite frankly, I think the having more detail on fewer discussions might be more meaningful than what we've tried to do in past years.
Right, I agree with that, yeah.
CM and then Cynthia.
I would love to see this be a productive meeting with an outcome, but I need to know if I need to just kind of calibrate my expectations. If this is more update and report out, or if there's something that we might actually be able to like create a plan of action around some of these. And that will really change how I determine what I think our potential agenda items should be and how I would weigh in. But if it's more just report out, then I don't, whatever, you know. But if it's like, we're going to create a plan and we're going to like tackle something, then I feel like, great, then let's prioritize this, this, and this.
Cynthia?
I see two things which I would delete off of our main list. Number three, the animal shelter. I don't think we need to talk about that. It's something that's ongoing and happening. Maybe just an information email to everyone would suffice. And as far as food insecurity, I think Lincoln County Food Share is doing a good job. We've had great donations the last couple years. All the food pantries are functioning. So I'm not sure if that needs to be a city-county issue. So those two things I would take off.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, I would like to see, since we've already talked about this with the budgeted monies, I'd like to see a productive discussion about homelessness services, pooling of resources, applying for state and federal grants for a shelter. So definitely item number two. I want to know what the commission's actually doing for housing and what, and they can produce documents or produce their plan or whatever so that we're aware. I think one and two are my top two things to talk about. Yeah. And the rest can be informational updates they could provide us in advance, and then we don't have to use meeting time for it.
Yeah, just based on Ryan starting out, why don't we just go around the table and pick your top two, and we'll see what stacks up. So if you go around with the council, ask for their top two, and we'll see what are the priorities.
I guess I would also like to get an update on the new county manager, where they're at on that. And also, what's their thinking? Are they going to be changing any form of their government with this new county manager? Of course, you know, we know what Wayne used to do. Are they going to alter anything? And then getting back to Cynthia's point, we've talked about the animal shelter. I guess my frustration is, you know, we've talked a lot about it, but we haven't seen any dirt moving yet. And it would be nice to have the discussion to find out where they're at on dirt movement with and also with the commons as well.
But Mayor, if I could suggest, if you'd go around the room and ask for the top two items, and then we'll see where the group wants to spend time talking. So,
okay, I'm going to start with how I see people here. Let's start with Jan in the upper left corner.
Okay, I'm in agreement with those top two. One thing I'd like to see us do would be rather than try to dive in to something when we're just getting together, would be to see what the interest level in developing work or plans, rather than try to develop some complicated planning in an hour. And to see if there's a commitment to something that some things that are joint that would not happen in that meeting, but that there'd be a commitment, okay, we're going to assign so-and-so, or we're going to assign, you know, so that's my thought.
Okay, and then we'll move on to Ryan.
Ryan already did
his. I said one and two.
Yep. One and two he had.
Okay, Dietmar.
So I think all of them are really kind of important, and most of them could be just a 1 or 2 minute update from the county, but the ones that I would like to have meaningful discussions on are three items, actually, not two, but I think childcare is very important in our community, and I would like to see us have a meaningful discussion with the county on childcare, including the number one and two. So I would go 1, 2, and 8 as some meaningful discussion, and let the county update us maybe 1 or 2 minutes or something on the other items that was informational only, not necessarily discussion.
Okay, Cynthia.
Well, I'm looking at number 4. I'm not sure what all can be covered under ARPA-funded projects. What would that be, Spencer?
Well, that could be, quite frankly, virtually anything. You know, we're going to be talking about our ARPA funding. We've got some money, for example, that we've kind of earmarked in this preliminary discussion for homelessness. That coupled with the county in Lincoln City, you might be able to do something significant. So I think the ARPA funding can kind of fold into some of these discussions that are going forward, because the county will be making their decision about how they're spending their money as well. So I think the ARPA is more of a general discussion that could be part of the solutions of some of these other issues.
Right.
Yeah, well, I would say the ARPA-funded projects probably affecting the housing situation. And then, you know, I'm always interested in childcare. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, actually, I attended a Child Development Network meeting where they talked about funding child care. There's a new program in Lincoln City, their Economic Development and Urban Renewal, and they're doing a child care business assistance program. Surely we could think of a countywide program for this to help our whole county, small settings in every city. So I guess number 4 and number 8, and then the top 2. This is hard.
Okay, CM?
Number 2, number 6 with an asterisk. I just would really like to know how many Lincoln County residents altogether are plugged into the alerts, because with the tsunami advisory, it felt like a more urgent thing. We need to make sure everyone's communicated with in some way. But I don't need like something broader than that. Just, I really would love to know how many people are plugged into those alerts. And the county commons, I'd like to know the latest on that. And then I would say childcare too, but obviously this is very hard to select.
Yeah, we're getting more errors for the later too. Commenters, so.
Okay, Beatrice.
That's like 4, yeah, that's not 2.
Dietmar, you started it with going with 3, so.
Okay, Beatrice.
I also want to select number 2. I think that would be good to have that one. And there's something that I feel is very important, the workforce development. The reason I'm saying this is that we have a community that I feel, you know, that, you know, in some places, you know, they might not have some support with, But I want to hear more from you, Spencer. What do you mean about workforce development? I'm thinking something, but I don't know. Maybe you're thinking something different. And just trying to figure out, are you meaning like a skills training, supporting, you know, communities where, you know, they haven't had the opportunity to get the skills and the job. Like, you know, I know that there are speakers of other languages. Are they getting support through the job, or are they developing, offering some like a technical support, or I don't know. I just, you know, I can go on and on and on. And also, you know, workforce development, I'm thinking also, you know, preparing populations to engage in education, but also business in our community, you know, to create assets in this community. So I have a lot of questions there, Spencer.
No, and again, I'm not sure who put workforce development on the list. Do you remember, Peggy? Oh, Laura, okay. I think that might have come from Laura Kimberly, so I'm not sure what her intent was with that either, but anyway, we've got your priorities there, and I think the mayor's the last one, so.
Yeah, I think homeless is my first and biggest priority to work with the county to come up with some solutions countywide and citywide that really work on the street. The second thing, as I talked earlier about, is getting a commitment from them on when some of these projects will be done. I would like them to come into us and say, the animal shelter and the commons will be totally finished by December 31st, 2022. I know that probably won't happen.
We've asked for commitments and financial statements in the past, and Wayne refused to give those. So maybe they could. There's a new administration that they could provide it up or down. That would be helpful.
Yes, it would. But I would, we keep talking about these projects year after year. It would be nice to have some kind of finality for them to say, yes, we're going to do this, no, we're not going to do this, or yeah, whatever, at least something concrete.
So as I look at my check marks, discussions on partnership opportunities on homelessness, everyone wants to talk about, so that should be one of our items. The second most checks was the partnership regarding opportunities for housing. And then the third most checked item was on child care. And so those would be the three priority items. And what we can do is maybe we can set up the agenda so we give them 5 minutes to just brief us on a couple of these other things. But the discussion items would be based on those three items.
I got a timer.
Yeah. Ryan, we'll use the timer. So, but does that make sense to folks then? We'll have the county give, a 5 minute overview, just quickly talking about the status of some of those other things that we talked about, but have the focus of discussion then on those three items.
What was it? Homelessness?
Homelessness, housing, and child care.
Do we know, do we have a means of telling what we talked about last year? Like, do we have any loose ends to tie up? I don't remember, frankly. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with these meetings is we tried to cover so much that really very little resulted from the meeting. So
right.
I think trying to focus these on, but we've got the minutes from last year that we can send you mm-hmm. as well. So does that seem to make sense, the three items that most people wanted to talk about? Okay. We'll forward those on to the county.
Okay, thank you all. And with that, we will adjourn the work session. And when do we want to start the urban renewal, right away, or do we want to take
a break? Do you need a break?
We need about 2 minutes.
Yep, so 2 minutes for urban renewal.
5 minutes.
Let's do a five-minute break, come back at 5:30. 5:30.
Okay.